in this week's Brown Art Network episode, we will be having a conversation about the creativity of women of color and the experience of growing up with a multicultural background. And joining us in our conversation today is Pooja Shah, photographer, creative director, and founder of Tembo Tones, a creative studio focused in photography, design, and art to capture storytellers and entrepreneurs of color. Pooja is a third culture Kenyan Indian American woman whose perception of the world is deeply impacted by her identity. So welcome, Pooja. Thank you for coming onto the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you both. And yeah, thank you. It's an honor that you're cultivating such an amazing space and I get to be a small part of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I guess kind of going straight into it, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background as a creative director?
Absolutely. I started my career path in the world of PR and advertising. So I graduated in 2017 with a bachelor's in strategic communications, design, and leadership. And I think I honestly thought I was going to go into the more traditional media route, you know, looking into journalism and traditional pitching, food and bev, consumer media, and soon realized that I think I was feeling very deeply unsatisfied in the industry. It's a pretty you know, I guess cliche story of like, I was missing something, I felt unfulfilled, and picked up something that used to be a childhood passion of mine, which was a camera, and just said, this was going to be the hobby, or this was going to be the practice that kind of brought me back to myself. And after leading a communications startup from kind of the ground up in terms of building their PR department, I was feeling pretty burnt out in July of 2019 and decided that I needed to take a little bit of a personal sabbatical, take a break, kind of hit pause and figure out where in the industry I wanted to continue what was my career trajectory. And in July, I placed my 2 weeks and decided I'm just going to go full into photography, kind of see where that takes me. I also had grown a sense of a void of seeing people that look like me, faces that look like me, people of color in stories and mainstream media, seeing a little bit of a lack of. And I said, what is my role in helping to fill this or helping to bridge the gap? Because I felt called to it for a specific reason. So at that point, I started dabbling and growing a portfolio in storytelling, photo artistry, and design. Didn't know what I was going to do with all of this material or collateral, but started birthing what is now Tembo Tones. And Tembo Tones, I like to say, is a photo studio that specializes in photo artistry, creative direction, and design. We serve entrepreneurs and storytellers of color and really strive to create transformative visual experiences that make an impact, but touch people and kind of bridge those feelings of belonging for our collective global community. So I've been a creative director and been practicing this since 2020. We LLC'd in February, right before the global pandemic. And we've been slow and steady, but strong ever since.
That's awesome. It's just, it also feels like it's like you're not like it's your baby, of course, but it's like a part of you. Like you are like Kenyan Indian American. And it feels like that is a culmination of that. And that's awesome. I think, I was particularly jealous when I saw your Instagram after we connected when we first met and see like all your like trips. Like I think you went to Japan, then you went very recently somewhere. I'm blanking out.
Yeah, I was in Ladakh very recently. I was kind of, this year's kind of been a wild one for me. I've been, you know, all over the place and like I absolutely count my blessings, but I think travel being such a big part of my exposure, inspirations, what I pull into my work, I want to continue feeding myself with those opportunities to really see culture and people and connection and community and understand how could I be a bigger part of this storytelling. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no, of course. I love the pictures that came out of it. Like, I personally want to go to Japan, and I saw it, and I was like, I really need to go to Japan now.
I will give you all the recommendations. Anyone who wants please. Them, let me know.
But yeah, how did you get started in like travel photography? Because I feel like that's a very specific need. And like, what has been your process like throughout kind of growing from destination to destination? Like, how do you typically do that?
That's a great question. I think I have to credit my parents for a lot of that. They, growing up in Mombasa, this small island town then when I was growing up, now it really is a city of over 2 million people. We were always immersed in so many different cultures. It's a very international kind of population. Mombasa in itself, the history of it, it's named the Island of War. That's kind of what Mombasa means. It's because it's been taken over and colonized by so many different people. So we've just seen so many different immersions of culture. And they kind of taught me growing up that it's really important to explore. It's really important to learn directly from people, from their lands and regions. So I always had this really deep love for wanting to kind of adventure and just have these conversations, you know, despite language barriers. So that was always ingrained in me. And I was working towards, all throughout college and all throughout picking a career path, what is a job or what is a lifestyle that can really foster travel? So initially when I was like PR and advertising, I can kind of take that anywhere, you know, hopefully work for global brands. So I was always thinking like, what can help me make this more of a lifestyle, a more longevity to, you know, style of living? So when I did decide to branch off to Tembo Tones, I knew that Kenya, the West being Chicago or the States, and India would always kind of be big inspirations in my life. And fusing that together, I think, has been really lovely. Having this dual living lifestyle of having a home base in Chicago, having a home base in Kenya, also allows me to be grounded in two different corners of the world where I'm closer to all these other regions. So I think I've been trying to understand that while this is my business, while this is my calling, it is also a way of life for me. And it's very deeply personal and something that I want to, every day waking up, set out a mission to continue to live in this way, live big and bold, prioritize my needs, my wants, my dreams, to be able to come to, you know, those feelings of fulfillment for myself.
No, that's really amazing. And I think it's definitely like seen in the work that you produce and the work that comes out of Tembo Tones. I mean, you can really see that you're trying to capture that kind of the dual cultural kind of background. And I think that's really important to be put out there. I guess in terms of like your Tembo Tones itself, what are some things that you're kind of looking for when you're curating work for Tembo Tones? Like, is there certain, obviously the dual cultural aspect of it, but what exactly, even in technical terms, in terms of like the actual work that you produce, what are you looking for when you're curating your work and producing this studio and this body of inspiration?
Yeah, I think something in the very beginning, before I have even visualized like what this picture is or what the end product or the photo is I need to understand and have honored the intention of it, whether it's me working one-to-one with one of my clients or a collaborative project or even a personal project, something that I'm living and breathing in my own head. The intention of who am I trying to serve? Why is this important? Who is it energizing? Is it me? Is it the community? Is it a certain impact-driven mission? Like, what is the reason why we're putting our energy towards this? Why is this so important? Is really the foundation of no matter the scope or the body, piece of body or work. And I think next it's my style in terms of light, looking at warmth, looking at melanated skin tones, looking at how we move in the sun, how we take inspiration from the food we eat, the spices we consume, the clothing we choose to wear, where our legacy and our heritage comes from, the traditions that our grandmothers and the women before us kind of brought into our lives to make us who we are today. All those elements kind of feed into a greater story of we are here because of everything that was brought before us, but we're also here standing in our own and in our truth. And that can mean something completely different to the culture that we are now evolving, whatever to be, like our lives or, the way traditions are now going to be passed on from our voices. So that's, it feels vague in a sense, it feels very lofty. But I think when I drill down into you know, doing a specific project. I remember one of my editorials that I did a couple years ago in New York was around bandhani, the traditional Indian textile that's been, you know, done in the states of Gujarat and Rajasthan. It's this beautiful printed work and tie and dye, working with a very traditional material, but then styling it very differently on a model that kind of showcases this embrace of sensuality and empowerment, and using bold color to attract versus hide away in, you know, just using materials and things like that to tell the story through our own eyes, understanding the full context is really important to me.
Yeah, no, and I think just being able to project and I guess uplift Black and Brown pride. I think that's so important, especially in art and in creative space. And I don't know, just out of curiosity, do you ever feel the pressure? Because I know, you know, in Western cultures, there is a tendency to kind of judge and view, quote, third world countries or countries that don't exactly work like Western cultures in a certain way. Do you ever feel the pressure of having to, I guess, like capture a culture or a certain style of living in the appropriate way? Do you ever feel that sort of pressure to kind of, to, I guess, showcase it in a way that is accurate and is not pitying or judgmental?
Oh, that is such a powerful question. Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I will always have that deep responsibility. If I'm taking any photo with my lens, I have a lot of responsibility, and just the history of, you know, a photographer's duty and the camera. There's so much there to unpack in terms of, like, we have always been the ones telling the story in our own ways. And that's been to such detriment, especially to African nations and developing countries as a whole. There's history there. But I also think I've taken this approach of, I'm the means, I might be the bridge, the way, but it's the people who are really helping me tell their story. I'm just that means, or like the machine that's kind of helping them communicate in their own light. I think when I'm in a set, or when I'm at a set, or when I'm in a, you know, a foreign country, or documenting, you know, a village nomadic environment, it should be me having personal conversations, knowing everyone's names, knowing why I'm there, them understanding why I'm there, them knowing what I'm doing with the camera, where these pictures are going to be, and, you know, going in the future before any photo is taken, before the shutters clicked. Like, those conversations are so important to have, because I really think, and I've seen the difference, because once those conversations have been had, those relationships have been built, you see the humanity in the photo. And it really comes across as like this deep appreciation for all parties involved. And I think that has helped me kind of take off the pressure of myself, but also kind of heal a little bit of the trauma associated with the responsibility, and also just like the icky colonialist feeling of, like, you know, capturing people who you don't identify as, but kind of, you know, making it something more exotic in terms of a story. You know what I'm saying?
It feels like you're flipping the way that we kind of think about taking the picture or capturing the art. I feel like when you look at big magazines or big, really mainstream platforms, they take the picture with the intent to kind of shape the person viewing's it perspective and how they want to. And it's kind of like, for you, it's like just putting quite ironically, a lens to what's already happening, rather than trying to change that person's perspective based on like your personal opinion, which I think that's super important. And like you said, a big to unpack with certain things.
Absolutely. And that's so true, because I think before, everyone was really captivated by the sense of like, oh, interpret it however you want, you know, like it's just this abstract thing. It's open to interpretation. That worked at a time. There was a place and a time for it. And now I think photojournalism has also changed in the sense that people, not changed, but it's true to its nature in the sense that people really want to hit that shutter button just to be an observer to what is going on. But there's so many layers now in today's day and age. There's so much responsibility that all parties have for communicating, hey, I'm going to take your photo. You are going to be present in this situation. This is how the photo is going to be used. What is your stance on the story? Like, help me communicate where you lie in this so that your truth is told. We're honoring you. We're not abusing you and your voice and your rights, or taking away from what you're actually trying to do just because we chose to hit the shutter button at that time. I think just the conversation of fairness and what's just and what also just feels right as humans interacting with each other, we have to be really careful with those conversations.
Yeah. And I think providing that context, because, you know, as a photographer, as a journalist, as someone who's voicing an opinion like that, you're capturing a moment in time that could then be used in any way possible, especially with the vastness of the internet, that photo can be used in any way. And yeah, I think again, like you said, providing that context, it's nice to see that you're providing that context and being very clear on all fronts and providing this, like, I guess, opportunity for this beautiful image or a creative prospect. I think that's really cool that Tembo Tones is able to do that. I guess kind of switching gears a little bit, in terms of, you know, providing opportunities for brown and black creatives, where in the system, in terms of the creative industry, do you think, where in the system do you think the creative industry, like, fails women or people of color the most? And what changes would you hope to see in the creative industry in the future?
There's a lot I could say to that topic, but I think what it really stems down to the lack of centering Black and brown voices, the lack of centering women of color, femmes of color, just in its essence. Like, if the story is about a piece of Black culture, the team should be Black, or the team should be empowered by the people telling their stories. Their presence is not needed. It is necessary. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we can't be out here creating these beautiful films talking about, you know, just beautiful stories that haven't had the chance to be told or haven't had light shown to them, if that culture isn't present in the room. Those seats haven't been taken up at the table by the voices that are being represented and are being mic'd up. You know, it's crucial to center those folks and take a seat back and be proud to be in the space to listen and observe and assist when it's not centered on you, I think is very, very important. And I think the industry really needs to step up in that place. We've made huge strides. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, we're definitely making changes happening, and the industry is shaping up to try. We see efforts, but it's nowhere near where it needs to be. And I think it's very clear when certain people need to be in the room and certain people don't. And for some reason, those lines aren't being, or those boundaries aren't being respected, is my short answer.
No, 100%. Do you think that any of that has anything to do with, like, is that like a funding issue, or is that just a lack of outreach? Like, what do you think is causing that? Because I agree. I think the industry, just from an observer's point of view, obviously I'm not, like, completely entrenched in that world, but just from an observer's point of view, I think the spotlight is on that sort of issue. But it feels like I don't know what specifically in the industry is, like, changing or what is happening in order to make those changes. Like, is there, I don't know, what do you think is the causing some of those, I guess, operational issues in actually providing action behind the words that we're kind of hearing?
I can definitely speak on my experience and my experience only, really. And I think I've seen that, you mentioned funding, I think I've seen that the industry is, you know, like so many industries, it's really a game of who you know, who you're rubbing shoulders with, who you're networking with, who you're exposed to. And I think that the grants are typically only leaning in one direction, or there's, you know, only 10% or 5% of the grants that are really serving the right kinds of projects or initiatives. And I think like funding is a huge deal. Like you need to be able to serve livelihoods to be able to create, and vice versa, you need to create to kind of like live, you know, your most full livelihood or your potential. And I think that's a huge issue. And then just kind of the staying in the same circles and only kind of promoting within those circles and not being expansive enough to really look around to see what the new and the old generations are now revisiting. I think we kind of land ourselves with the new, the whoever the new faces are, the new directors, the new creators. But I think we have to, you know, take a beat to understand that as fast moving as this industry is, we also have the power and our own responsibility to control that pace. We can take a beat to pause. It's okay for people to take a couple years to reflect and get re-inspired to have another project on the table. It doesn't have to be like that one opportunity that came and went and you're just never heard of again. I think those are just a few examples of being very intentional takes time, and it's okay to be slow and steady in your processes to make the right decisions and also try again. It's okay to do that. And I think we all need to be cautious and have our eyes and ears open for those folks who are continuing to try again.
Yeah, like the other end of it, just thinking is like there that is one core part of it, the operation of how you get to that end, like story. But I think that's something also we've talked about, specific Sneha and I, has been with, especially like in the film and representation, is like sometimes they're like trying to carve their own niche in the industry, like yeah. Its own, like it's very similar to like the corporate world being like branding everything under DE&I. Like it's its own unicorn, it's its own umbrella. Like and I feel like that's kind of what, as again as an observer, that's like kind of what we're seeing as well. Like we need to carve its own like area within the industry versus kind of bleeding it into how we represent like an overall, like America is America. It's not like yes. There's like the subsect right here that we only, they never collaborate with the other part of the what you call it, like society, and it's very its own thing. Do you kind of see that in like the photography space, like in the visual arts space, like where in from your perspective? And I guess what are your thoughts and how we can kind of redefine that what representation is, rather than its own being, it's like its own unicorn.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you kind of said that well, because it's just it's a weird thing, right? That just is happening. It's a somewhat of a trend in itself, you know. it's a strange thing, but I think I see that being done across all areas, and especially within the creative sphere and realms. I think that it's a great thing to be able to carve and find your own voice among community members who feel the same, or passionate about the same. But I also think it's okay to normalize, like just straying away from what other people are doing. Like it's a weird, vicious cycle in the sense that society is telling you to conform, but to conform, you're also supposed to break away and be your own and cut off the noise and stand out and stand proud. But also then don't be too loud and not be too, polarizing to then, you know, be striking a nerve to other people. It's just this vicious cycle of like, where am I actually supposed to be? And I think if we just stopped again, realigned with our intentions, forgot about all of that and just created, it's easier said than done, because to do that takes one, a lot of courage, two, a lot of self-assurance. You know, and imposter syndrome is loud and proud within this industry, and community to support those efforts and not to be like, oh my gosh, we don't understand what's really going on there, so let's just, you know, create some distance. It takes a lot of nerve to be able to, you know, stand in your own and kind of be intentional about your creations all throughout. But I think it's an important thing for us all to do and remember that our approach is not paced up against or in comparison to anyone else's.
Yeah. Kind of shifting gears for the conversation, just kind of a little bit focusing on your personal journey or your experiences being having a background of three cultures, since our podcast really does surround the idea of how our culture leads, or how our identity leads perspectives or changes our perspectives on certain issues, with you being Kenyan Indian American, can you describe what that experience was like and how that's kind of affected you as you kind of gone through like your like stages of life? And a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I never really felt growing up as a kid kind of enough of anything. You know, you feel like, especially, I noticed this especially when I had moved to pursue higher education in college in 2013 from Mombasa, my hometown, to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I noticed that immensely there, because I think growing up in Mombasa, it's just everyone is kind of this beautiful blend. It really is a very special place. It's unlike the capital city in the sense that it really is just such a hodgepodge, such a melting pot, and you don't really notice it as much then, but you have this deep-rooted appreciation for who you are, because everyone there is almost recognizing, I'm also different, and I'm also different, and you're also different, so let's just learn from each other. The teachers who are also coming into our schools are from all over. Like, it's kind of like a sweet little bubble. And then you come to the West and you realize, oh, like, I'd love to be able to join, you know, an Indian organization, but I'm not really being seen as Indian enough. Or I'd love to be joining an African Student Association, but I don't look the part, and things like that. So I think there was always a little bit of, I don't really feel enough of this. You know, I have passports and documentation that tell me this is who I am, but what am I really feeling, and how am I who am I attracting to be in friend groups that kind of understand me but also don't? And I'm craving, you know, meeting people that I don't have to explain my whole life story to, because they just get it. A lot of those kinds of feelings. And I think with my journey with self-love and self-appreciation, I just came to an understanding of, like, this is a very special place that I get to reside in. And these feelings of being in between all the time is something that I can use as inspiration to carve really cool stories of not having finality to anything. Everything can just be ebbs and flows of what is going on in my own life. And it's been magical to see people being touched by it, resonating with it in very different ways throughout. So I think that's honestly been a like pocket superpower that I've been holding on, that's been kind of motivating me to keep going.
No, that's really, I feel like that's definitely something that a lot of people within the US or within Western cultures around the world do feel, in terms of, you know, balancing, you know, dual or multicultural backgrounds that are telling you and giving you different priorities that are often contradicting. And you're kind of stuck in the middle, being like, okay, which one do I personally want to follow? Which ones are priorities to me, and which ones are not priorities to me? And then how does that, you know, fit in and work in the context of a society that, you know, is very, I guess, very much like you have to be one or the other, or, you know, you're just kind of lost in between the boxes, if you will. And I think that's so important. I mean, and you've talked a little bit about this in terms of your, in terms of Tembo Tone specifically, and, you know, and I just want to ask, you know, specifically, how does your multicultural background, impact your professional work? And in what ways, you know, like, what is there, certain projects that you'll pick up specifically because they resonate more with your personal life versus the other? And what are some of the criteria that you see in terms of, you know, picking those projects or clients to work with?
Yeah, I love this question. It's such a beautiful question, because I think I feel very blessed and very privileged to have integrated so much of my cultural identity into Tembo Tones. It's really the blueprint of the entirety of its foundation. I guess, like, there's a few aspects I can talk about, but the first being the name. The name was birthed out of two feelings that I felt were, you know, I was very attached to, but also the symbolism. Tembo is the Swahili word for elephant. And I think the elephant in so many of our cultures encompasses this very nurturing, loving, maternal figure. It also is, you know, one of the greatest mammals in terms of its size and largeness on the earth. And it unapologetically takes up space. It's just this massive beast of a tender, gentle creature. And I think that reminds me every day to show up and be big and proud and bold and unapologetic every day in my life. And then the word tones is, you know, aesthetics, hues, colors, you know, musicality. It can be so many different expressions. And I think the merging of tempo and tones is what I like to say is where creativity and intention aligns. So it's something that a feeling that I want every one of my clients to walk away with of feeling really proud that they created something really magical for themselves, but also feeling very in touch with their creativity. So I think that aside, you know, reminding myself that this business is just a beautiful intersection of those things. And secondly, I think I am very proud to also serve my BIPOC community creatively, very, very like loud and proud. Again, like it's not a secret. You know, the people, the clients and the muses and the people that I'm inspired by, the community members across my page, like you will be immersed in this beautiful, melanated, rich, warm, textured world that I think I physically see. And I want people to feel really immersed and belonging there. Like I want them to feel like no matter what I look like or no matter what I'm dealing with or the textures or the ebbs and flows, ups and downs of life, like I feel like I found a little bit of a corner of the digital world that feels a little bit like home. I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be protected here. I'm going to be seen and heard. And I think creating art, choosing projects that make me feel that way, when clients come to me and they say, I have this idea. I don't really know what to do with it, but like, do you resonate? I'm like, yeah, let's build across this. And it also teaches me things that don't necessarily align, which is also really important. Those were hard lessons I learned in the first two stages, 2020 and 2021, of building my portfolio and starting to take on clients. Is I said yes a lot because obviously I was starting off. I needed to alpha beta around my packages, see, you know, if it really worked, if I could make a career out of this. And, you know, I said yes to a lot of things that really weren't in alignment. And I didn't understand the intention. And I had to go back to my own personal philosophy on human connection, which is what I built our signature Hue of Humanity groundwork on, which is something that you experience no matter what scope of work, tempo, tones, and our clients' process. It's just this really deep discovery. It can be taken place in, you know, in a questionnaire or a series of activities or kind of like an art therapy session, but it basically seeks to honor, seeks to understand, and seeks to energize your truth, your essence, your personal missions, how to embrace your community. When you drill down or answer those questions, how can we honor, understand, and energize you? We come to your intention, is my belief, and also my understanding of how to maintain respect and compassion when you're having human-to-human conversation or dialogue. And I think once those questions are answered, I'm like, yes, if this intention makes sense to me, it'll also make sense to you. It's just a beautiful filtering process for the projects I want to take on and also an understanding of why Tembo Tones is here in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think from the conversations that we've had so far today, it really does feel like that is like the philosophy of Tembo Tones that really resonates with everything that you do with Tembo Tones. And speaking about like more on like the projects aspects from like as we kind of wrap the episode, like from here onward, how do you see Tembo Tones growing or evolving with the experiences that you had or have, like you mentioned before, travel photography, taking on different clients, how you kind of communicate what type of work you want to take on? And now that you're in a position to do so, do you see Tembo Tones evolving in a specific way, taking on different projects, different types? And I guess, where do you hope to continue to grow?
I think the beauty about Tembo Tones and its gift to myself specifically is that I've really dreamed this to be a brand that can home how I evolve. So whether that be, you know, I think creative direction and design and photography is something that I do forever, or it's something I might do for the next 2-3 years and then decide to shift. You know, hopefully Tembo Tones can be a house for products in the future. I've been dabbling for a long time with this idea of this gorgeous book that is like a collective gathering space for photographs that tell a really deep cultural story. Maybe that might be about Kenya. Maybe that might be about a specific story, a coffee table book of sorts. I think having something tangible that people can hold and understand and kind of really embrace those feelings in a tangible way could be really cool. A series of like an educational kind of resource. I think Tembo Tones could be really beautiful in that way. But I want it to be able to evolve as I evolve and not kind of hold me down in a sense. This is supposed to be a freeing space for me and my clients. And I really would love to see that hold in its intention throughout the test of time, basically. So I think in terms of the short term, I'm really excited to just continue to build upon my portfolio of these photo artistry projects and just continue telling really editorial, photojournalistic types of nature pieces of work. But I do seeing it kind of evolve into something more product focused in time. Again, holding my hands up, I have no idea where that might take me, but I'm game to figure it out.
No, that's amazing. And I'm really excited to see where Tembo Tones goes in the future. I feel like there's definitely so many directions you can go, and it's only upwards from here. So excited to see where that goes. And obviously, you know, me and Kirti at Redefining ABCD are going to be in your corner just watching it happen. Very excited. I guess, like, so obviously, you know, you have like you're very entrenched in the creative industry, and you know, you're a businesswoman and also a photographer, and you have this business under you. What are some self-care practices that you follow that helps you feel a little more grounded in the chaos that you have to kind of deal with every day? And in terms of your, you know, multicultural background as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a beautiful question. I think prioritizing time, solo time, just like in solitude and gratitude, whether that's taking a walk by the lake or, you know, taking a moment to map out in my calendar for the year, like when I'm going to be taking trips back home. Home is a very energizing, inspiring place for me. So just being rooted in the things that I know bring me back to myself is just really important. I think I cherish therapy, having someone or having a care team on my side to be like, let's get your mind right. Let's make you feel good again is so important. So I cherish both my therapist, my partner, my friends, whoever is there to be a rock, or even just a listening ear, has just been so, so good for my self-care practice and just my mental health as a whole. I think that's really important for creatives in general, is having a support team so that you're not feeling like you're just churning the same voices in your head or being inundated and absorbing too much of external stuff and media and social media and things like that. So I think those things really keep me grounded and rooted and kind of find my way back home.
That's beautiful. And as a final question, because we are nearing the end of our interview here, what advice would you, you know, give to younger POC artists and creatives who are looking to expand or advocate for themselves in the creative industry? Is there, you know, any tips or, you know, advice that you'd like to give them?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much I could say. I think my top two would really just be like advice that I would have loved to hear a couple years ago for myself, and good reminders. The first being just be really slow and steady, and don't be pressured by the rat race that it feels like. You know, you'll see people all the time putting out new work. Your Instagram feed will be inundated with literally like new work, new piece, new this, new that, new collaboration, new partnership. But you know, that will come, and all of that will come, but you need to be super hyper focused in on your own lane, on your own business, and you know, pouring that into yourself, pouring energy into yourself, you will see the fruits of that labor very, very soon. And I think it will just feel so much more fulfilling than regurgitating and forcing yourself to just throw out work that doesn't really feel aligned, because that's just going to even create kind of like a messy outlook for your audience anyway. So it's okay to be slow. It's okay to not be posting all the time. You know, as crazy as that to say, you know, to feel like you have to say out loud, sometimes you have to remind yourself that it's going to be okay. I think that's the first thing. Just be really slow and intentional and stick to your own pace. And the second would be to collaborate. Your community is your best friend, and garnering a really deep understanding and deep relationships with your community members is going to hold you through the tough times, the highs, the lows. So being open to collaborating, being open to discussing passion projects and bringing other people in to hear and bounce ideas off is really special. And I think it's something that, you know, we just have to, you know, take advantage of. Like, we are so well connected with social media. Take advantage of that part of it and be open to seeing what magic can happen when it's not just you, you know, in your own space or on set or in your own head. Just being really open to creating new pieces of work in collaboration is a really magical thing.
Amazing. And with that, we will conclude this episode of Brown Hour Network. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Thank you, Pooja, for coming on and getting an opportunity to talk to you. It was really great. If you would like to get in touch with Pooja and her studio, Tembo Tones, we'll put her website and social media information in the description under the episode. So please go check that out. Pooja, thank you so much for your time. This was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope to have a chat with you guys sometime soon.